As a congregation, you have been working your way through the Ten Commandments as we find them explained in the Heidelberg Catechism. And this afternoon, we've come to Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And 39 deals, of course, with the fifth commandment, which is about honor your father and your mother, that your day may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me, admit myself or submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it's God's will to govern us by their hand. Thus far. After the proclamation of the gospel, we'll sing together from hymn 11, the stanzas 1 and 6. Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, times are tough. And that I'm not referring to economic conditions, nor am I referring to political affairs in this province or in this country. And also, I'm not talking about COVID. But rather, I'm thinking this afternoon about kids, children, our children. These are difficult times for them. Dangerous times. And of course, I realize that on the surface, it doesn't look like it. Children today have more opportunities than they ever had before when it comes to getting an education, learning a trade, starting a career. And children also seem to have more money than ever before. Many of them have part-time jobs or some other kind of thing that they do. And as a result, they don't think anything of eating out. And children, at least in Canada and the United States, have more freedom than ever before as well. The freedom to express yourself, the freedom to develop your talents, the freedom to go where you please. And yet, in spite of all of these opportunities and money and freedom, growing up today is still tough. It's tough because many of our homes are lacking in love, in structure, in discipline, in time, in leadership. And it's also tough because the media has invaded our homes big time, not only by means of traditional things like radio and television and videos, but think of the internet and the smartphones and all the connections that we make. And the result is that there comes flooding into our lives mind-numbing entertainment, sexually suggestive, if not sexually explicit material, immoral role modeling, and violence. Lots of violence. I'm not a computer gamer, but it seems that whenever I see a computer game, there's always somebody trying to kill somebody else. And the more people you can kill, the higher your score goes up. So living today in today's media culture is tough. And also it's tough because from every side our children are being attacked, as it were, in terms of their thought processes. And the result is that many people will tell them, you should have nothing to do with God. God doesn't exist. It's you who are number one. Take care of number one. And along with that comes crash materialism, the drunken pursuit of pleasure and self-indulgence. Yes, these times are great, but they're also tough for kids. And by the way, I would also add, they're also tough for parents. Contrary to what some of you may think, especially you younger folk here this afternoon, listening and watching, it's not easy being a parent. And you know, that's not primarily because of the cost. I'm not sure how much it costs to raise a child exactly these days. But you probably heard the stories that from the age of 0 to, let's say, 18 years of age, it costs a pile of money. The last figure that I could come up with was one I found in Money Sense magazine, that one child costs $243,000 to raise. That's from the ages of 0 to 18. And that doesn't even factor in the cost of Christian education, I'm sure. So, these figures are huge. Think about the number of kids you have and multiply it times 4 or 5 or 6, and you're in hock for $1 million before you know it. Kids cost money. You young people, whether you realize it or not, by the time you're 18, you're gold-plated. You cost your parents a bundle. And yet, that's not really what gives parents, at least not Christian parents, gray hair or no hair. No, it's all the other stuff. The peer pressure. The me attitude. The questionable friends. The worldly entertainment, the sexual license and looseness, the unspiritual talk, the lack of commitment to God or to church, to Christian spirituality, to the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading and prayer. You know, all parents have dreams and aspirations for their children. And when they're not fulfilled, there is worry, disappointment, and hurt. But now, beloved, it's against that particular backdrop that we have this second part of the law of God. And we have the first part of that law, the fifth commandment. Let's turn our attention to it for a moment, and we'll look at it under the following theme, a cornerstone commandment. We're going to see, first of all, and we'll say something about obeying your parents, something else about cherishing your children, and finally, embracing your blessings. Well, beloved, I'm sure that all of you are familiar with this particular commandment. Indeed, you're so familiar probably with it that you're maybe kind of insensitive or blind to actually its wonderful content. For what is this commandment telling us for starters? Think about that. What's it telling us? It's telling us, because this law comes straight from our covenant God, it's telling us that our God is very much concerned about our families. He's not so far enthroned in the heavens that he doesn't care what we are doing or what we are up to or how we live our lives. And he's not so much wrapped up in the big things and the headline things that he forgets about the little things, the small stuff. Though our God sees into our homes, he sees into our families. And not only does he see what our families are all about, but he also knows what's going on there. The good and the bad, the joys and the sorrows, the victories and the defeats. You see, he knows that sin and the devil have infected also this basic form of living. He knows parents don't always lead wisely. He knows that children don't always obey spontaneously. He knows that at times, especially when the hormones are flowing, that we are at loggerheads with one another. Is it because he knows all of that, he addresses the first commandment in the second table of his law to this relationship between parents and children? Obviously, he considers this to be a major area of concern. He sees it as foundational, basic, terribly important for all of life. Or if you will, he sees it as a kind of cornerstone commandment. So what is in this commandment in the first place? What message is it supposed to convey to us? Well, The first message is surely this, that God cares. God cares about us, our families, our children. He cares enough to devote a special commandment to it. He cares so much that he devotes, as we said, the first commandment of the next six to it. And as a matter of fact, we need to see that in it, God's love, his concern, his compassion, his grace, his wisdom is being displayed to us. But there's more, for not only does the fact and the priority of this commandment send us a message, so does its content. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother. Obviously, then, what we have here is a case of God speaking to the children in the community, even to the grandchildren. And so the first thing to understand here is, listen up, you youngsters. God is speaking here directly to you. He's telling you something. He's ordering you to honor your parents. What does that mean, to honor your parents? It's interesting, the Hebrew root word here is heaviness, a sense of heaviness. And of course, this doesn't mean that God is telling you parents that you should put on a lot more weight than you already have. No, the idea behind this honoring is the idea of giving to your parents importance, clout, respect, esteem. You see, children, your parents need to have weight and standing in your eyes. They need to be something to you. They're also supposed to mean something in your life. But you might ask, well, why should parents get preferential treatment? Well, the most obvious reason is very simply because God says so. This is not your father insisting on something. This is not your mother trying to twist your arm and make you feel guilty. This is not your minister or your teacher telling you should do this, much less your friends. This is God. This is your creator, your provider, your potter, your covenant Lord. The most exalted authority in all the universe is telling you, this is what you shall do. This is how you shall live and how you shall act. Yes, and of course still today there are people, as there have been in the past, who do not like the fact that God sovereignly says this to us, just like they don't like it when God sovereignly chooses some and not others. There are people who fume and fulminate against this particular commandment. Some who even hate it with a passion. And what does God say to these people? He says, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed him, why did you make me thus? In other words, what right does the clay, the mud, have to protest? Indeed, what right does anything and anyone have to protest against God, our Maker and Keeper? So the answer is rather obvious. Hold your tongue and listen. But then, beloved, if we are to do as this commandment tells us, because it comes from God, we're also to do it because we need to understand this is what is good and beneficial. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then he adds, for this is right. And by adding those words, he's saying, this is right. This is natural. This is decent. This is the proper thing to do. And as well, it is saying that children, for them not to obey. He's totally out of sync with the natural order. He's out of step with what God has made and with this world in which He has placed us. You know, you need to consider your parents as a gift of God. If you have a father or mother who loves you, be glad. If you have parents who care about you, rejoice. If you have parents who pray for you, talk to you, even discipline you, take you on holidays, count your blessings. I can guarantee you that many kids in this world would love to have what you have. And at the same time, realize that parents are to more than to be simply admired. They're also to be heeded. And why are they supposed to be heeded? Because, more than anything else, parents are your first teachers in life. Time and again, Scripture reminds us of that. It's this vital relationship between parents and children. Take, for example, what we read in Deuteronomy 6, where God urges the parents, impress these truths on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Indeed, all the time. Parents are to be for their children a living billboard of the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord. And Psalm 78, for example, speaks about God decreeing statutes for Jacob and establishing the law in Israel, and then telling the forefathers to teach these things to their children. And why? So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And of course, there's the book of Proverbs, right? You all know that expression in the book of Proverbs that comes back time and time again ad nauseum. Listen, my son. Listen, my daughter. So when you take it all together, what do we have here? You have parents teaching their children about the Lord and about life. You have parents instilling divine knowledge, and parents warning their children about life's pitfalls and traps. Children, if your parents act towards you in this way, as your teachers, you should be happy. And if you see why they are doing all this, you have reason for double happiness. For why are your parents charged to teach you and to do all of this? Is it only because God is telling them to do it? Is it because they have nothing else to do? Is it because they're so good at it and love to show it off? No, their teaching is an extension of their love for you. They want you to live a long and happy and blessed life. Of course, and I realize too, there are parents who teach their children and insist that their children learn certain things purely because they want their children to be successful. I know parents who deeply, vigorously wanted their child to be a doctor or a lawyer or an executive of one kind or another. Because for them, money and social standing is everything. That's what really matters in life. But that's not what a Christian parent is all about. They know the real reason for teaching is not success, but service. Serving God, serving one another, serving one's neighbor. And you know what? It's in this Christian service that you will find your life and your joy. Someone has wisely said that happiness is not something that you can seek directly. It always seems to result from something else. It's like what the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. You seek first the kingdom and the righteousness, and everything else will be added to you as well. And so you see what's saying here? Children, handle your parents with consideration. Watch out how you speak to them. Be careful what you say about them. Listen to their instruction. Heed their warnings. Learn from their correction. Respect and honor them, because they're God's gift to you. And they're there to bring love and happiness and wholeness into your life. Now, so, beloved, this commandment, this fifth commandment, is not just about children. It's also about parents. Children have their duties. Parents have their duties as well. What kind? What's the first duty of a parent? It's to love your child, your children. The summary of the law, you know, it says you have to love God first with everything. And you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Who's your closest neighbor? In a family, it's your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. It's your duty to love your children. And some of you may say, well, that's, you don't have to say that. That comes naturally, automatically. Really? Over the years, I've counseled some older people. People in their 40s and their 50s, even older. And they're burdened. And when we dug down together a little deeper, why were they so burdened? Because they grew up with the conviction and the sense that their parents had never, ever really loved them. Their parents had used them, especially to add to the family income. Their parents had ordered them around. Their parents had made sure that they did all the chores they had to do. But love? There wasn't any love. And if there is no parental love in your life, it's like there is a deep hole that stays with you forever and ever in this life. It never seems to go away. So you can say you love your children. But is it true? Do you really love them? Do you show it to them? And of course, I realize there is a duty of parents to discipline their children. I also realize that for many parents, discipline is a dirty word today. They have no time to discipline, no heart for discipline, no energy, by the way, for discipline. Now, some of that is understandable. But if you really love your child, you will have their welfare and their future at heart. And you will realize that there is little worse in life than a spoiled, self-centered, arrogant, indulgent child who is fundamentally a brat. Such people grow up to be adults, or even more spoiled and self-centered and self-indulgent. And in due time, they become the majority of our troublemakers and our crooks and our gang members and our drug dealers and our con artists So, you know, the problem is not just no discipline. Sometimes it's also a case of inappropriate discipline. For years, I have been visiting prisons in the Fraser Valley. Medium, Max, all those places. And you know that those places are filled with a huge percentage of men and women who have been abused verbally, physically, as well as sexually. And now that's no excuse for their later criminal activity. But it does help to explain a lot. You know, the heart of a child is the most precious thing. But the heart of a child is also a most vulnerable thing. You need to discipline it because it's sinful. But you always need to do your discipline out of spirit of love and concern and care. It's because you want the best for your child. Yes, and it's for that reason the Apostle Paul writes as well. Fathers, that's a warning. Fathers, mothers, do not exasperate your children. You know, it's an interesting English word, that word exasperate. It's one of those English words that I really love because the meaning almost comes out in the hearing, in the speaking. Exasperate, which means frustrate endlessly your children. And how do you do that? Well, as we said, by not loving them. By employing physical punishment that is driven more by anger and frustration than it is by self-control and love. By insisting that our children do what we say and not what we do. A double standard home. And by never really being there for them when they need us. By sheer neglect. Why, there are so many ways that careless and insensitive parental behavior can turn off children. It's as if the Catechism says that it's God's will to govern us, our children, through the care of parents. And we parents, and we grandparents, had better make sure that we get it right. And also, let's not forget, it's in this way, too, that we receive a blessing. Because the fifth commandment says, not only honor your father and mother, but also so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Of course, a careful reading of this commandment within its context indicates that its first and original meaning had to do with Israel and the promised land. Here, Israel, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, is at Sinai in the desert on the way to the promised land. Her future lies before us, and it is a future that will be blessed if the children of Israel honor their parents. If the children do that, they'll be rewarded with a long life, many years, old age. They'll even get to see their children's children. And it'll be a long life, it says, in the promised land. This life is not just being lived anywhere. No, it's to be lived in that special land, in that inheritance that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A covenantal blessing. And one of those great covenantal blessings is the land. A place to call your own. A place to grow up in. A place to enjoy. So that's an incentive, then, to obey the fifth commandment. But what about today? Well, I believe, beloved, that same incentive somewhat differently, but it's still there. And why? Because of the fact that the Apostle Paul, notice, he cites this blessing in the New Testament. And also says, because of the way in which he cites it, it says that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, why would he say that if this fifth commandment and its blessing no longer apply today? Truly, beloved, there is still a blessing today. You children, if and when you honor your parents, you'll get to experience this. For look at how the Apostle Paul rewords this commandment. The original in Exodus 20 is, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And the rewording of Paul in Ephesians 6 reads, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Obviously, wellness and a long earthly life are the blessings that flow from keeping, honoring, respecting, obeying this fifth commandment. And so children and parents together, do you hear that? Do you want to live a happy, fulfilled life? And not a miserable, frustrated, bitter life? Do you want to reach old age? Do you long to see your generations? Then you need, God says, to heed my fifth commandment. Yes, you need to heed it. And beware that this is my commandment. It's intimately connected to me as a triune God. This is the deep wisdom of the Father speaking. This is the forgiving blood of the Son speaking, because as parents and children, we all make a mess of things, right? There are times when we all have to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. There are times when we all have to start over because of our sins. But in Christ, there's forgiveness for those sins. And through Christ and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, there is renewal as well. Just because you're a bad parent today doesn't mean you're a bad parent tomorrow. Not if you call on the Lord and ask Him to help you and fill you and guide you and bless you. And so, beloved, let's together look to the Lord. Look to Him, your children, parents, families, and thereby may you be blessed forever, evermore. Amen.